Penguin Audio presents Earthbound by April Lynn Pike. Read by Hallie Cooper Novak. Chapter 1. I remember the plane going down. Not the crash exactly, but the moments before. And while it must have been only moments, when I look back, it takes much longer. I was sitting with my forehead pressed against the tiny window, looking through the cloudless air at farms and settlements passing below me, when the engine exploded, rocking the plane into a crazy tilt that tossed me back and forth in my seat. The actual blast was surprisingly quiet, muffled by the insulated fuselage, I imagine, but the billowing clouds of coal-black smoke pouring off the wing were impossible to miss. Every nerve in my body clanged, but my eyes stayed riveted to the roiling smoke that streamed back from the engine just feet from my window. My aching fingers clung to the armrests to hold myself steady as the plane dipped forward, then plunged, the momentum forcing me against my seat. The pop and hiss of hundreds of oxygen masks springing from the ceiling like venomous snakes startled my attention away from the smoking wing. Reflexes honed by dozens of droning safety speeches sent hands darting out to grab the oxygen masks, the adults securing their own masks before assisting others. But I didn't bother with mine. Not even when my mother pushed it at me, her eyes dancing with terror as she gripped my father's arm so tightly I knew her fingernails must be drawing blood. It was the flight attendant who made me understand. Two of them were standing in the aisle trying to get everyone's attention, demonstrating the crash position, like that was going to help. But I focused on the third one. He wasn't attempting to buckle up or help the passengers. He just stood, his body strangely still amid the chaos, looking out the window, two tears rolling down his cheeks. That's when I knew we were all about to die. And in that moment, my fear melted away and I felt completely at peace. No life flashing before my eyes or sudden aching regrets. Just an overwhelming peace. I relaxed, stopped struggling, and watched out the window as the ground rushed up to swallow me. I stare at the photos in horror. It has to be true. There's no other explanation. The timing couldn't be better. Or worse. "She's gone?" I ask in my iciest voice. I'm not mad at him. I'm mad at myself for not seeing it sooner. I should have. Everything balances on a knife's edge, and this could destroy it all. Or save it.
We're doing everything we can.
He's nattering on about their efforts, but I don't have the patience to listen. I walk over to the window, arms crossed over my chest, staring down at the lush garden below, seeing nothing. Not nothing. Seeing her face. That face I've known since almost before I can remember my own. That face I thought I was finally free of. Except now, I can never be free. I need her. We need her. It's difficult not to choke on the bitter irony that after everything she's done, I need her. Without her, everything will fall to pieces, worse than it has already. And I almost killed her. Chapter 2. Therapy is the epitome of the best and worst of everything in my life. I sit ramrod straight on the couch, tears threatening to spill. I blink, forcing them back. Not because I'm embarrassed. I've cried gallons in front of Elizabeth. I'm just sick to death of crying. I don't like to talk about my parents, but it's Elizabeth's job to make me once in a while. Like today. She tried to focus on happy memories, but this time all that did was remind me that they're never going to happen again. That chapter of my life is over. Gone. Forever. A huge, gaping forever. "Hey," Elizabeth says, startling me back to her office with an audible gasp. "It could be worse. You could be a brain-injured orphan with a weak leg, and be having a bad hair day. For a second, I just stare at her, wide-eyed, trying to decide if the joke is funny or not. But her expression, melodramatic concern with just a hint of true sympathy behind it, cracks through my shell, and I start to laugh and swipe at my eyes at the same time. I have, I admit, kind of a weird relationship with my therapist. I theorize it's because neither of us thinks I'm crazy. She doesn't even let me call her Dr. Stanley, which is what the diplomas hanging on her wall say. Just Elizabeth. At first, I thought it was one of those cheap shortcuts adults try to take with teenagers to get them to relax and spill their guts. But Elizabeth seriously squirmed every time I called her Dr. Stanley, and after a while, I finally switched. Now it comes naturally. "Seriously, Tavia," Elizabeth says, her voice soft and sober. "It's not supposed to be easy. I think you're very brave and that you're handling things extremely well." "It doesn't feel like it," I admit, shrugging into a black hoodie. I've always liked sweatshirts in general, but these days, anything that covers my head, and with it the scar beneath my still too short hair, is a distinct preference. "Then trust my professional analysis," Elizabeth says with a smile as she escorts me through the darkened and empty waiting room. "You're not walking home, are you?" she asks once we reach the exit. We had to reschedule our regular appointment, so it's after hours, and her secretary, Secretary Barbie, I call her, because her face looks like plastic and she basically never talks to me, has already gone home. "No, Reese is coming." I usually do walk on the orders of my physical therapist, but since it'll be getting dark soon, Reese insisted on picking me up today. I guess that's fine. True to her organized, punctual personality, my aunt is already waiting for me, her BMW parked right in front of the door. She leans across the car, pushing the passenger door open, and giving Elizabeth a little finger wave. "Hey, Tave, how was it?" she asks as she pulls away from the curb, her eyes scanning the road. "It was therapy," I say, clicking my seatbelt. "It was therapeutic." I lean my head against the passenger side window, not wanting to talk about it. Therapy is, well, it's personal. And even though I'm immensely grateful to Reese and my Uncle Jay for taking in a stepniece they hardly knew, they don't really feel like family. Luckily, Reese takes the hint and flips the radio on as we turn out of the parking lot. She has a never-ending well of patience. For me, at least. Clients on the phone? Not so much. As we drive, I take in the streets around me. Portsmouth, New Hampshire is one of the United States' oldest cities, and they do a really good job of preserving colonial sites. I'm a closet history nerd, and the first couple of months I was here, I would walk for as long as my injured leg would let me, exploring the monuments and markers and museums. It feels fitting somehow, a city mired in its past, me trapped in my own. And the whole city is so beautiful. I love old buildings. They just don't build them the same way anymore. There's a grace and beauty to them that society has lost. No matter how elegant the whole deco thing is supposed to be, there's something in the hand-carved intricacies of colonial architecture that sets off a mourning within me for what once was. My favorites are the occasional, perfectly preserved 18th-century houses nestled amid modern homes in a normal neighborhood. Like a treasure hidden in the sand, just waiting to be discovered. It's hard to find them while driving around at the breakneck speed Reese favors, because they're usually set back from the road and often sheltered by the leafy canopy of an ancient tree. But when I walk alone, I look for them. I'd love to know the stories behind them, but I'm too nervous to go knock on some stranger's door. I take pictures instead and make up stories in my mind. I swear, I have about 1,000 photos on my phone. I wish I could sketch them, paint them, but I haven't been able to draw since the accident. Still, something about these old homes soothes me, calls to me almost. I pull out my phone and scroll through to one of the pictures of my favorite house and zoom in, trying to imagine painting the wooden slats in watercolors The hint of sheer curtains I can see.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?